One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Mitchin Podcast.
Hey, what's up, and welcome to the Mitchin. My name is Andrew Levins, and this is a podcast all about food in Sydney and abroad. Normally, I have a co-host. His name is Mitchell Orr, and he is currently in Adelaide at the Tasting Australia Festival, getting selfies with Marco Pierre White 24 hours a day. He'll be joining us again next week, but in his place, I've got two fine guests, very fine. Beyond fine. In fact, two Brizzy boys, kind of. Yeah, there's a connection. That's why.
Right.
I saw
by the tan.
Same.
When I saw you were both in town, I was like, oh, this is a good little hookup. So joining us again for his third-ish podcast.
Second.
Callum Boys, who has spent the last year being the editor of Good Food Brisbane.
Yeah.
Is that still happening?
Yeah, we've still got a Good Food, Brisbane Times Good Food Guide coming out later in the year.
It's got to have your name on it?
Yeah, it'll have my name on it, yeah.
So we're going to be talking about why he's in Sydney and not Brisbane right now, later in the episode. And another ex-Brisbane, now royalty. Not particularly from the food world, but we're going to dabble into his past as a food reviewer. And indeed, I'm sure that plays somewhat of a part in his career today. Comedian Aaron Gox is joining us.
Hi, Levo. Thanks for having me. Dog.
You can go either one. You've been on my other podcast, Hey Fam, before, but I've always thought it'd be really fun to have you on the Mitchin because of, I mean, we both have a profound love of junk food. I've found it, I guess, easier to give it up than you have, I guess.
Yeah. But I've dug myself into a bit of a corner now.
Yeah, it's like your forte.
Yeah.
But for those of, especially abroad listeners that are not aware of Aaron Gox, most prominent video online is, you want to say it? Classic, what was it again? It was a classic
Stitch Up.
that I didn't do
well,
it.
Well, I was trying to like shun it, but then I've been doing the comedy festival shows where I called, that's the name of the show, but you got to name it like months ago.
Sure.
So yeah, once this is done, I'm getting rid of that for good.
I was a big fan
Speaking of food, I did the eating corn video
too. Yeah, a guy with cornrows eating corn while listening to corn.
It's an important food staple.
And I remember, like, I think when you came on Hey Fam, I think that corn video had just come out. You hadn't done the Stitch Up video yet. We were ahead of our time. All your videos really were food based. You did a review of the Fisherman's Basket from your local, which is the deep fried basket of fish and chips and crab sticks.
It explains itself. Yeah.
And what else? The Jimmy Barnes ice cream.
Yeah.
That's a classic one. What did you suggest?
It didn't taste like Jimmy Barnes at all.
And you suggested the AC/DC one.
What's that?
Oh, no, someone wanted me to drink the AC/DC beer.
Oh, they have a beer?
That beer? That
you don't
wine.
Do beers though, huh?
Well, not really. I'm a flavored milk guy.
So Aaron's here at the moment. Goxie's here at the moment for the Sydney Comedy Festival. He's got four shows over the next four nights. He's going up today. So if you're listening and you're in Sydney, definitely head to the Enmore to catch Goxie live and direct.
The main part of Enmore, I'll be... Nah, I'm joking. It's in a little room out the back.
They call it Enmore Laneway.
Laneway, yeah.
I've seen all the greats there. Seen Ozamartley. I saw Ween there. They're actually
great. Right. Michael Franti.
Probably I did. Sorry, there. Yeah, back in the day.
I've actually never been anything there, but I lived in Sydney a long time ago for a little bit, and all the gigs I went to were at the Annandale RIP. Oh, no, it's still going.
It's still going.
It's not really
family-friendly.
Yeah.
No Tim Rogers vomiting onto the stage anymore.
Sorry to say you were dead, Annandale, if you're listening.
Annandale
like
always
pubs
tunes
listen,
in.
Yeah.
But... You're like, you know, you don't get planes anywhere. even though you're bawling now. You drive. You are very used to the solo road trip from gig to gig.
Big road trip guy.
And so you drove yesterday from Melbourne to Sydney, and I know you have like the landmarks that you always stop at, and these are landmarks that I've always wanted to go to, but not that much. Like, oh yeah, if I somehow. I've driven from Melbourne to Sydney, or I've been in a car that drove from Melbourne to Sydney twice. Back when I used to like just go like, oh, you're a band and you're going to Melbourne, I'll come with you. Last week.
Yeah.
But run us through your run from Melbourne to Sydney. Where are the stops?
Well, like, because Melbourne to Sydney is actually really, really quick and efficient, because it's like one big freeway. It's get like, but the other cities, you got to still go through little towns and that. But I did. I pulled off the highway and went into Glen Rowan. Got a photo with the Ned Kelly statue. Good. You know, one of our country's heroes. You know,
not just a photo as well. You also had something.
I love how our country's heroes are criminals, but that's a story for another day. But
another podcast, the true crime podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Such is life. The Ned Kelly enthusiast podcast.
But you've put up photos of yourself in front of the Ned Kelly statue with a flavoured milk.
Yeah, iced coffee, mate. Get
iced coffee.
Right.
Always an iced coffee.
Because it's a long trip, so I gotta have the caffeine. Yeah.
Can I ask what type of iced coffee? Are you a Dare man or is it oat?
Yeah, I like Dare. I got plenty of time for all the companies until one of them signs me up as a spokesman.
Didn't you try really hard to get a Big M sponsorship?
Yeah.
Well, a few years ago they sent me a shirt, but I think that was just for me to stop annoying them. Like, this will shut him up. Because at the Comedy Fest a few years ago, it was actually a rip-off of another. This is another comedian. He does a series where it's called 100 Beers, and he just does photos with people, like a sociable thing, having beers, like 100 photos. So I thought I'd do 100 Big M's, the flavoured milk.
You legend.
Do you have that up here? Or is it
I think we can still get Big M.
Is Big M the move the same or different? Move.
Let us know
with three O's. I think.
Let us know, Annandale, if you're listening. If you also
that's
drink
another
milk.
Series I was going to do, but it never took off. Was going to be because I started touring. Was Flavoured Milks of Australia.
That's fucking genius.
Do it.
Well, it is more interesting. It's one of the things that is interesting because of it's got to be fresh. So you do get local ones, whereas like you don't get a local Coke or.
I love that. That like the only state where a different drinks that isn't Coke outsells Coke is Adelaide Farmers Union Iced Coffee. It's the only drink that outsells Coke in any of the states of Australia.
Fuck off! Really?
Isn't that awesome?
That's amazing.
I'd like to think. I'd like to think it's for woke reasons, but like we will not bow down to multinational corporation. But it's probably just like, nah, we reckon it's sick.
Like, good label.
Which was the company that were like, fuck baristas. It was like,
Barista,
you know,
Brothers.
Yeah, maybe it was like, you know, like, Kirk's one, who needs a real coffee when you can have this?
God.
There's a few.
I thought that was like targeted directly at you.
I hope I didn't get you in trouble with Coke's lawyers, but there's a few things that they've stuffed up. Like, because like everyone, like a mother, like I know all energy drinks have got a bit of a bad rap, like, but Mother was really bad. Like,
the enormous meter high cans.
It's called Mother. It's like their Coke's version of V or Red Bull.
With the claw marks on the can.
Yeah. is that Monster, I think.
Oh, that's Monster. Mother's got the, is it the old English font down the side?
I know, I think like vines and flowers.
Is it Monster or Mountain Dew that's kind of like the 13-year-old gamer?
Yeah, Monster Energy Drink is like the, you know, like the, like I play Arkham City on my PS3.
Yeah, I'm not across energy drinks as much as I should be, it seems.
Well, you, being from Brisbane, you should know there's some, very classy pubs there that have Mother on tap.
Fuck off.
That's when you know you're in a classy. You know those the suburban chain ones?
Yeah. Cal and I have got a classy Brisbane pub story to tell later in the episode, actually.
Anything with a Monty's reward scheme will probably have Mother on tap as well. Yeah. I think it's a pretty good rule.
Did you do at the Comedy Festival 100 milks?
No, that was a joke. That's ridiculous. I only got up to 26.
What's less healthy? Beer or milk?
Well, it depends. I would say beer, but beer doesn't have any sugar in it.
Yeah.
So if you're drinking flavored milk, that shit is fucking rammed with sugar.
Yeah. Neither one is great. Let's just leave it.
There's a lot more fat in milk. There's a lot more nutrients in milk, though, as well. I don't know.
All right. The jury's out.
Great. Just wrecking different parts of your body. Alcohol is like your brain and your liver, and milk's just everything else.
So the last few weeks of the Mitchin have been quite politically driven. We've been doing a lot of focus on the 457 visa news and how that's going to affect the hospitality industry. We've heard, got an incredible, our listenership has gone up. And that's why I thought, let's do the most serious politically driven episode of the Mitchin yet. Yeah. In fact, the last couple of weeks I've had to not, usually I begin each episode with dumb news stories that I find. I wasn't able to do in the last couple of weeks because we had so much serious shit to cover. So instead, I thought we'd only do dumb news stories in this episode. But before we get there,
can we mention my the secret Facebook group I started?
What was that one?
Luxa Lovers.
What's Luxa Lovers?
Aren't you in it?
I don't think I'm in Luxa
Lovers. Because I'm a big Luxa fan.
Yeah.
That's why I said I'm going to blow my cover. I do actually taste other things than Red Rooster. I love Luxa. It's my favorite food.
Oh, man. I didn't know that. I would have given you some hot tips.
You should join. I thought you're in.
I'm not in Luxa Lovers. Someone added me to a Banh Mi appreciation.
You're the one who said it has, because they called it Vietnamese roll.
Pork roll.
You demanded they change the name
to a Banh Mi. Entry level Facebook group. Admin. But before we go through all these the litany of hilarious food related news stories that I got from Daily Telegraph instead of Fairfax publications this week,
because
I stand in solidarity, I thought, let's go amateur reviewer versus paid reviewer, professional reviewer, amateur versus pro. I've got some new food products that I thought we could all try.
You mad dog.
So I've got these brand new just bright green Doritos. They're called Doritos Supernova, and they are out here because of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which is a good movie. Did you see
it? I haven't seen it yet. I was supposed to see it on the weekend, and my date cancelled, and I haven't had a chance since, and I'm fuming.
Brutal. Now that's always like going to be in the back of your mind when you watch that movie, no matter how good it is.
I'm going to go tomorrow morning, I think.
And I know you've already tried this, but have you tried it lukewarm? Because I bought it 45 minutes ago. This is the brand new KFC Tabasco. So We've got a good old fashioned review off, everybody, ladies and gentlemen. In the left corner, coming from Brisbane, could be either of you because we're talking camera left or my left. Let's say Aaron Gox, the pride of whatever part of Brisbane he was from to South. Whatever part of Melbourne he is now. In the right corner, representing Fairfax. So this is technically work. So you're putting the middle finger up to all of your fellow staff members and just doing an off the record review.
Yeah.
What do you want to begin with? Do you want to begin with the bright green Doritos?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Entree.
Okay, so I'm going to try one first, and then you guys can each try one, and then
only had ones that weren't meant to be green.
What a champagne podcast this of eating Doritos into a microphone.
This is incredible. Look how green that is, listeners. All right. I can't really taste the green. That's the only thing I'm going to give you guys.
Yeah, okay.
Callum.
Thank you.
Eat a green Dorito. Goxie, eat a green Dorito.
That's going to be the quote we remember you... Oh, I shouldn't say that. It makes it sound like you're dying. But the quote we're going to remember you by is, I can't taste the green.
That's also the name of this episode now.
There's some lime bullshit in there or something, isn't there? And some cracked pepper.
Okay, the professional is off with some very not professional remarks. First and foremost.
Some lime bullshit. maybe. I think that's what it is. It's like an essence of lime.
Callum's going back for a second chip or just a look?
It's quite emerald. I don't mind the colour. It's very Wizard of Oz. I'm not going to eat at the microphone because I have respect for your listeners.
I don't. Yeah. So, fuck you, listeners. Listen to me crunch. Goxie.
I want to know if this helps sales because I reckon Doritos is just going to sell fine because it's just at every party with a...
That horrible Doritos.
Salsa, you know.
But if I'm a 10-year-old fat little kid who fucking loves Doritos and loves Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm buying so many fucking packets of this.
Or if you're a dickhead like me who, like, I try not to eat junk food, but whenever they release something new that I haven't tried before, I'm like, oh, I've got to try that.
Yeah.
Like the sweet and sour Twisties.
I got a Doritos the other week that was taco flavored.
I was going to get them too, but I thought, no, just one bag of Doritos.
But I'm always so cynical. I'm like... All right, I'm always thinking, I bet we only think, you know, like the placebo effect, like we only think it tastes like that because it's telling us.
Yeah, definitely. Tacos never taste like taco flavor.
No.
So my favorite Dorito is just the plain yellow original flavor.
I don't mind these.
But yeah. Callan's all on board the, what are they called? Supernova.
I've got, it's white pepper that I like in it.
Yeah. Right, okay, sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's all right, actually.
What would you pair this with?
Oh, fucking...
A big M?
Just despair and remorse.
Despair and remorse.
French onion fucking, dip.
French onion dip, all right.
Yeah, yeah. I do French onion dip. I just, when I'm in that point of my life where I'm eating Doritos at home, I'm not in a good way. And just getting all that orange shit over your fingers and over your black jeans and just like, yeah, well, pulling the blinds down like the monster you are.
So, I don't think, even though these chips are bright green, you don't really get green. Oh, a little bit of green dust.
Yeah, it'll get there, mate. It'll get there.
Whenever I make nachos at home and then I always put like way too much stuff on because I'll be like cheese, sour cream, salsa, guacamole, yeah. You know, it's like, this is, has the most ingredients of anything and it's considered just like...
Easy food.
Yeah.
Are you a microwaver nachoer?
No, I do the oven.
Fucking gross.
Real nacho good, boy
good,
over
good,
here.
Good.
So final verdict on the Doritos Supernova. Would you buy another bag, Goxy?
No, I wouldn't buy it, but I'll eat it.
I'll let you buy another bag. And yeah. To me.
Hey, should we get another bag? Should we get another bag, huh?
I'm at strike.
I would... If I was eating a whole bag, I'd probably call an ambulance ahead and have it ready.
Well, I see like things that are colored green, and all I can think of is green poo. If you eat a bag of that, you're going to have green poo for a week.
Isn't that bubblegum ice cream which did that? That was always the urban legend as a kid, I remember.
I've told this story on the podcast before, but I'll tell it again because I love it. I got asked to cater a vodka event. I don't know, can't remember which brand it was, but they were doing like vodka blue, and it was this blue vodka, and they were like, so if you could like do some like a blue themed like menu for us.
Yeah, brilliant.
And so I did like, you know, like a very very subtle blue in a mayonnaise, or like I would you know, just like a subtle blue things, or like blue toothpicks, because like no one wants to eat blue shit. No. And then they were like, oh, it's not really blue enough. And I was like, well, I could just dye everything blue with food coloring. And they were like, as a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, hell yeah, do that.
Yeah.
So I ended up like dyeing all the mayonnaise, all the mustard, all the tomato sauce, all the salsa, all the pickled onions. we used blue cheese. It was no good. And people ate everything. And the next day they were like packing out everything from the club. And I overheard one of the, like the PR girls going, hey, is your shit blue? And I like victory for me.
And she was like, and I never got around to eating any of that stuff last night.
She's like, it was blue, it wasn't blue enough.
Yeah.
Oh dear, the AB Hotel in Glebe, the worst pub in Australia, still has a really? Breaking Bad themed menu.
You know, the AB used to be okay though. It's only right, like they started.
I've heard this.
They chugged one. If anyone was going to have a Monster Energy drink on tap. Or Mother Energy drink on tap in Sydney, it'll be the AB now.
It's yeah, like, yeah, totally.
It's this just ain't your grandma's corner pub.
I've had to do gigs in the... There's a comedy night at the George's Bar in Melbourne.
Oh.
Because there's an article that like rips into that sort of stuff. You know, like, is that what you mean? Just like, yeah.
Just the worst part. Like, why would anyone want to come here besides $9 schooners of new and to just... thrash a lot of money down the pokies. That's all. I mean, it's over.
Oh, I just meant morning. With the Breaking Bad thing as well.
Oh, the Breaking Bad thing, just going back. Yeah, they've still got a Breaking Bad theme section of the menu with like blue salt on the ice. Yes. Like, oh, it's so fucking
edgy
for a show that went off the air 6 years ago.
Great show though.
Yeah.
Because my theory on the things is like, I like things, but I don't want to be, you know, like Simpsons trivia. Like, I love the Simpsons. I don't want to go out and talk about it. Mind you, I might put my own one on. I'm going to, yeah.
You do trivia, right? You host a pub trivia.
Yeah, well, it's all... I did it because I'm allowed to write all my own questions, which I like that. But having said that, I'm always leave it to the last day and just have to cram it in. Because it's very... Like, it's a lot of just, like... That's what I said. If you don't like the 90s, you're not going to like this. Because it's all stuff I grew up with. It's like Married with Children, Wayne's World, yeah, right. Questions.
Let's get back to the food. This is a food podcast. Let's do that. Not the fucking Simpsons pop culture podcast. So this is the brand new KFC. Oh my God. Tabasco.
Wow.
Tabasco. I mean, isn't this just hot and spicy? So they've now got the Tabasco branding.
Yeah.
This is my problem. I've had it twice now. And my very first time was because I think of Tabasco as being like, blow your head off spicy. So I was just like chewed into it and I'm like, this isn't very spicy at all.
Yeah, right. It's, so Tabasco is actually...
Do you need a refresher?
The Tabasco is actually in the batter. That's what they've done. Is that right?
In the press photos, it looks as if there's like a layer of Tabasco in between the
right.
chicken.
I just thought they were serving like Tabasco on the side. I was like, that's fucking nothing. That's not a thing.
In the pictures, they do.
I remember the Burger King had the Dark Knight burger. When Dark Knight came out, and I was like, fucking yes. I was living in Newcastle at the time. Oh, they do have the little
Tabasco bottle in the
and side. And so we got in my car and it's like, Red, we're coming, we're getting the Dark Knight burger. It's the fucking Batman burger. You probably would have the same thing. There's a Batman burger, I have to eat this. Went out to Katara Burger King, which was a fair trek, and it's like, can we get the Batman burger, please? And it was exactly the same as a fucking Whopper. They just put barbecue sauce on it.
Oh, I thought they did like
this is pre-black buns. This was whenever Dark Knight came out, so 2007. So no one, Sean Connolly wasn't doing his stupid black bun shit then. And yeah, I was just like, I could have made that any time. Like, where's my limited edition ingredient? Like, do something fucking else. So
a real Batman fan knows that half of the things in Batman's utility belt are barbecue sauce from different regions
and these
of America.
Little Tabasco sauces.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
He's like, damn, why didn't I kill the penguin? Oh, I grabbed out tartar sauce.
Goxie, do you rate this? Like, you know, how often do you eat KFC? You're a big chicken lover.
In recent years, I'm calming down on my KFC consumption. It did get out of hand a few years ago. But, yeah, that's the thing. It's fine. It was just the expectation. I thought it was going to be really, really hot, and it's not.
Yeah, it's not at all. It's fine. It's probably hotter than a Zinger. I would say
it's white people hot,
but I just don't know why this exists. I wouldn't go in and buy this. Hot and spicy chicken and zingers are objectively fucking delicious. Like, controversial opinion, but it tastes fucking good. Now, treatment of the chickens, treatment of staff, and KFC being a multinational company. Let's just put all that aside for one fucking minute. It's really, really fucking good.
So I don't know if you can even get hot and spicy on the menu at the moment. I think it's just this Tabasco.
Well, it comes and goes, doesn't it? It's always a limited edition thing, and people lose their mind for a month when it's on the menu. But it's always on the Zinger. It's the same batter as the Zinger.
So yeah,
I
yeah.
Buy Zinger, and yeah, I don't. You're right though. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Sorry, KFC for.
Zinger chips. You reviewed the Zinger chips, didn't you? I remember.
Yeah, but they're just like Smith's, Chris.
So it was a bag of chips with the Zinger spice on it.
Yeah, Zinger branded. But they just taste like barbecue shapes.
Yeah, yeah.
That pissed me off a lot.
There's been a few disappointments at KFC. The pie was no good.
That was disgusting.
The Zinger pie.
The Zinger pie.
That's the problem. It's always the image you get of your mind when you first hear it. And when I heard pie, I'm thinking... Like pieces.
Yeah,
pieces. But it was
deep
like stringy.
Fried batter,
yeah.
Like crunchy batter in a case. That'd be insane.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought it was going to be a whole Zinger breast, patty, whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. I think it's a breast.
In a pie.
In a pie.
But it was just like stringy chicken.
Yeah, it was. I got one down at George Street and took it next door to Harry's, though, and made a Zinger pie tiger. And
so with the mushy peas,
with the mushy peas and the mashed potato on the gravy
on the side, or you just straight up give them
I just gave them the pie.
Wow!
Like, can you just put on whatever you put on a tiger, and I'll pay the $1.50 or whatever? And like, they had no idea what I was fucking talking about, but they did it.
Yeah, like you pissed.
Yeah, it wasn't piss. It was 4 in the arvo on a Tuesday. And it was fucking
just
good. It was good. It was good. That made it better. But yeah, Zinger pie hacks.
Yeah, finally.
Facebook
5 years
group,
too
that's
late.
Mine. Yeah.
Zinger pie hacks on Facebook. Go find it. So I guess I kind of talked you up as a professional, but you're like the rogue. You're the rude dude of the good food crew.
Fuck off.
Because you always get the assignments to review all the fuck shit. And if you don't want to do it, they freelance it out to me.
Yes, somewhat, Andrew. that does happen. I've been in Brisbane for the last year, so I've been on...
Like I said, the fuck shit.
Yeah, hey. There's two of us table.
And I think you're the only two people from Brisbane that's ever listened to this podcast.
And I'm from Newcastle anyway.
That's true.
So I don't really take any offence, so I don't give a fuck.
You should be on, like, mining money if you're sent to Brisbane. You know those guys who are like,
yeah, I just did the mines for a year and I got a jet ski and a HSV.
There's a lot of jet skis in Brisbane, isn't there? They fucking love them. Sea-doos cruising up and down the mighty Brisbane River. Fuck, there's some dickheads. I hate that. Anyway. So I had a good time last year. No, it was good. There are some really good restaurants and bars up there. I met some great people. But the guide will still come out, but I've pretty much finished all the reviews. There's one or two new places to open. I'll go and check out. But now just back down here to put that guide together and produce things. And
one week from now, at least.
Sorry?
One week from now.
Yeah.
Because of the Fairfax strikes.
Yeah. Well, I'm using this time to catch up on some of the reviews I owe Miffy, as I'm sure you might have as well. Hi, Miffy Rigby. Anyhow, so I'll come back down. But one of the good things of coming back down to Sydney is that I want to move forward and just start writing good proper journalism stories again, and really bring obviously and Zinger and Dorito reviews, which I'm so glad you brought me on today. It's really on brand. I did the soft drink story the other week about soft drinks in hospitals, so just more of that public health facing stories, but also better stories about the industry. And I think, as you guys have touched on this before, it's like, it's okay to identify fucking problems with staff shortage or restaurant bubbles and all that, but what are we going to fucking do to fix them?
Yeah, true.
And actually offer some suggestions, and so hopefully more of that kind of shit is the plan.
If Mike or Mitch were here, he would say something along the lines of, because the fucking food media still benefits off the hospitality, so if it's our problem, it's their problem.
I agree with that. Yeah. I completely fucking agree with that.
Who do you think I was impersonating then, Mike or Mitch?
That was a Mitch.
I was going for Mike, but okay.
Unlike in comedy, we just hate all the reviewers. And
Yeah.
Do you read reviews as a comedian? Do you get in there?
Yeah, I shouldn't. They always hate me.
Yeah, really?
They're not as bad as the Triple J comment section.
You hate the Triple J comment section?
They hate me.
It is. Oh, really? Actually, like
I shouldn't have looked, but it was just like a lot of abuse. Yeah.
Gosh.
What, just like calling you a flog? That was when I ruined Meredith 2015. I got called a flog like 100 times a day for a week.
Flog, it's a fucking good word though.
It's brutal.
It still went ahead this year. I thought you brought about the downfall of it.
Yeah, I was hoping Meredith would never come back. That was my aim.
Yeah, you didn't work out, did it? What were we talking about? Brisbane. Yeah, anyway, I'm back here full time now. So it's good to be back writing about Sydney restaurants again. And Brisbane was awesome, but I did find myself just writing about the same probably 10 places over and over again when it comes to doing those top 10 lists or whatever it might be.
Goxie, where
There's
are the
only
three?
So many sizzlers you can review.
Where's your top three when you go home? Where do you like to eat?
This is tough. I used to go to the Indian buffet at Mount Gravatt.
Yes.
I actually asked you for an Indian review last time I was in Brisbane.
You didn't
send me there.
I sent you to Turbans and Cowboys.
It's pretty decent. Oh, wait, no, not Turbans and Cowboys. What was you actually sent me
I sent you there first, and you said, lol, no, because you didn't want to go to a restaurant which was half Indian, half American barbecue. I don't know fucking why. But I sent you an okay-ish place in New Farm. I don't think there's much good Indian.
There's a poster.
Can I ask you that? What's the weirdest mix you've seen?
That's fucking it.
Yeah, Turbans and Cowboys.
Fitzroy... Clifton Hill in Melbourne, and it's Indian and Hungarian.
No, you win.
And yep. I'm trying to work out whether maybe it was like a married couple. There's one of each or something.
Yeah. There's two types here. There's your fusion cuisine. I can't believe I just used that term. Yeah. But where they'll kind of combine the things. Like we had Mama Mex when I was growing up in Newcastle, which was Italian Mexican.
Goxie does fusion comedy.
And you could
woke bogan.
Good and bad. I do good and bad jokes.
But you could get like a pasta with some taco mince on it, because why not? You disgusting pig. So, but other places will just have like, you know, my one half of the menu is Hungarian, the other half is Indian. So I don't know. You don't know. You haven't been there. It's the Indian Hungarian.
No, I've just driven past it. I want to try.
Fuck yeah!
My daughters don't let me be very adventurous. And then a few times I drag them along to Asia, and then they have like fried rice or something. But you know, kids, it's hard. It's hard with kids. You know?
Yeah.
But I trying to get them along to have some better stuff. My youngest has. She likes mango chicken. Like, that's a very Australianized Indian dish, isn't it?
Yep. Butter chicken.
Yeah.
Kids love that. They fucking love
chicken. Very exotic.
But the Indian restaurant that you sent me to in Brisbane.
Yeah.
There was actually a poster of Aj Barker on the wall, and it said the only good restaurant in Brisbane underneath it. He'd signed it.
I think he's got the same one down at Sloppy's in the city, the Sloppy Joe place. That Indian place. I think Engelbern Humperdinck's up on the wall there too.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Indian cricket team. It's the only place they eat when they come to Brisbane.
Oh, is that that Taj Mahal? I think
that's the one. Taj Mahal and New Farm. Yeah, it's a nice vibe.
All the comedians go there when the comedy fest is on.
Right, on Aj Barker's instruction.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, only good restaurant in Brisbane.
There's a Vietnamese restaurant in Melbourne City that's on the wall. It says
Bill Clinton had two bowls. How many will you have?
Yeah, Bill Clinton's there.
Fuck, that's good though. That's good.
I ate at a pizza place that famous like that named themselves after Bill Clinton after he ate there in Napoli.
Called what, Bill's?
I can't remember. I'm sorry for bringing
this
up.
You'll be onto that shit, mate.
Clintos.
I can look it up, but
you don't need to.
Off the top of your head. Give us the three restaurants that we should be checking out. Should we ever be in Brisbane?
If you're ever in Brisbane, Gage, Gerard's, Esk. Yeah, that's it.
Again, it just sounded like you said one word.
Yeah, Gage, Gerard's, Esk. Gage, which is over on South Bank or South Brisbane. Really, really good. We gave that restaurant of the year last year. Just doing nice kind of Scando, gnomerish plates, but really good fresh food. Esk, which is the offshoot of Esquire, so that's the three-hatted restaurant in Brisbane, has had for the last few years. And it's just a more casual little joint you can go to and get some really, really good cold grilled seafood. And they do a great fried chicken and really good steaks there as well. I enjoy that a lot, like rip a little wine list. And then you've got Gerard's Bistro over in Fortitude Valley, which is a good place to have a big fucking feast of Middle Eastern-inspired dishes or just go and sit at the bar and
make your way through
some natural wine and wine eat list, some chicken wings. Yeah, it's there's lots of other good places as well.
Your daughter's like natural wine, Goxie.
Love it.
The pizza place in Napoli was called El Presidente.
Yeah.
I should be able to figure that out myself.
Well, you know it's after him because he was a president. So.
He's the only president. After then,
L means the in. Something Spanish.
So on to the fun part of the show, and that is just a non-stop barrage of dumb news stories that I found.
Yeah, good.
dailytelegraph.com.au/lifestyle/food/news. They have a food news section. What do you got, good food?
We have a food news section on the site.
It's not as dumb as this.
It doesn't need a fucking paywall to get through on good food either. Thanks.
Almost.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
all of the articles from the last like 3 months are either about how McDonald's or Coke is secretly bad for you.
Are we talking about my website or the Daily Telegraph?
Daily Telegraph, like, yours too. Right, it's a common
thing. That soft drink.
I don't reckon it's secretly bad.
But here you go. This one's from yesterday. Diners horrified after mum let son pee in cup in the middle of a restaurant.
Yeah, fair. Look, he's not going to pee on the fucking ground, is he?
Do you want to hear the details? Or just want to start judging straight away.
I've already started judging. Please give me the details.
This happened in Krasnodar in Russia.
Ah, yeah. It's a hotbed of activity, Krasnodar.
Hotbed of hot piss.
So basically, this is one of those great stories where they don't actually talk to anybody. They just summarize what happens in a viral video.
Good.
The mum, who appears to be to prefer to relieve her child rather than walk him to the toilet, holds a plastic cup for him to wee in. The cup was used by the family to drink out of just moments earlier.
Hmm.
One person commented, "Even animals do not pee next to the place they eat. What did this woman think of when she decided to hold a cup next to her son's pee?" Another added, "I wonder if the boy wanted to do number two. Would she let him do it at the food court too by putting a newspaper on a plate? Wild people."
Yeah. Newspaper would be polite.
Is that about... I used to live in Ryde.
Oh, you used to Ryde. Yeah.
I lived across the road from Top Ryde.
Holy shit. So Goxie has just pointed out a linked story on this article called Food to Ride Home About.
RYDE.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know if it really works at all.
I'll steal it. But did you ever play the McTrick where you would fill up a really, really big McDonald's cup with water right to the top and then put the tray on top, turn it upside down... So it's sitting there, fill it all with rubbish and shit like that, and then just walk out and just wait for someone to come in and clean over the table, and the fucking water would go everywhere. It was amazing.
Brutal.
That's classic. And now imagine if that cup was filled with a two-year-old piss.
Yeah, I know. That's the ultimate in McTricks.
Do you like peek through the window to see it happening, or you're just gone by
We were like 10. We just sit out there with our BMXs and just fucking wait in the playground and wait and stalk it until someone came and picked it up, and then we go in the BMXs and piss bolt.
I was a big fan of you put the pickle on the burger wrapper.
Yes.
And then you hold it slack, and then you go doink and pull it really tight, and then the pickle flies up and gets stuck on the roof.
That was a level above what we were doing
in Belmont,
New South Wales.
Still got pickles on the roof from me and my year 7 homework.
Our country's in good hands.
So over to it is May the 4th.
Yeah, I've noticed. Which is
Star Wars Day.
Oh gosh.
Across the country and the world. They say May the 4th be with you, Goxie. You said that to anyone today?
I've never even watched Star Wars.
Wow, scandal. Callan, I'm going to imagine, has watched it 30 more times than that.
Yeah, I've watched it a few times.
What about Still Saunders? Have you seen it?
No, never. So, Bar Luca in Sydney has put out a Galaxy Burger.
This fucking
So, it's called Return of the Jedi. And it's a Bar Luca beef patty, American cheese, triple smoked cheese Kransky, red cheddar cheese sauce, sweet and spicy pickles, fiery ketchup on a Galaxy milk bun, which is again, going back to the theme of blue poo, is a bun with blue and purple food coloring ripples through it.
Right. So it looks fucking dumb. Now, I get the Star Wars theme with the Galaxy bun. And to be fair, I haven't really done a bad job on it with the different colours and the cosmoses there.
But why call it Galaxy Milk Bun when you could just call it a blue milk bun, and that itself is a Star Wars?
Oh, because it's fucking Bar Luca and they know what their market is. It's fucking dickhead burger bloggers. They love this shit. But what's the Star Wars thing with the three Kranskys? One Kransky looks like they put into three and then put it on. Is it supposed to be planets?
No, it's Return of the Jedi. So it's not really that Star Wars themed.
Yeah, that's why cheddar. I can't get the Star Wars theme.
It's a cheddar Kransky. There's cheese in there.
Oh, there's a cheddar Kransky. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get that in the press release. Oh, fuck.
Goxie, okay. What are your thoughts on freak burgers? This doesn't really qualify as a freak burger. More just a kind of over the top, slightly.
Fucking dumb.
Bar Luca is one of the more, like, celebrated.
It's one of the more celebrated with the blogging crowd. I've noticed that they fucking love that, and they love the Pub Life Kitchen.
Yep,
and the
Shasta Yobby.
Yes, and the other one that they used to be out of
Burgers by Josh.
That's the one.
They love Burgers by Josh.
Thank you. Yeah, they're probably the big three, aren't they? Anyway,
I like this just because it looks like something I could hold in my hands. Majority of the freak burger craze. It's like, 10 patties and a piece of fried chicken, and it's just this enormous thing that's going to kill you.
Yeah.
At least compared to the milkshakes, it doesn't have like syringes in them and stuff.
I saw a burger with a syringe in it the other day.
Oh, yeah, I stand corrected.
You inject your spice.
I'm not into the syringe thing.
It's dumb. It's never good.
No, it's that fucking N2 gelato had it on, and they've got the syringes. I opened up on King Street. It was just when the
first said I don't want my syringes and my meal to mix. I want them in two different areas.
No, you've always said that. That was the first thing you told me.
That's the way I live my life.
I agree with you, Andrew, that you could hold that with one hand, but the amount of salt and fat in that, you couldn't get through it. I think, you know, as Jake from Aries will say, like the whole idea of a burger is that it's this nice little compact thing, and all the fat and the and all the sauce goes into the bun, and it kind of becomes the one thing. And yeah, that's great. Like if you just got too much meat in it, it's just this disgusting fucking behemoth thing that you don't want to get through. And this burger Instagram nonsense. So like, if you take the bun off that, how much are they charging for that? By the way, does it say?
I don't think it's too bad.
Like for $17. There you go. If you take the bun off, are you going to pay $17 for what's a pretty shitty fucking rissole with some cheese and a fucking 7-Eleven Kransky? Like put the bun on, like, hey, fucking take all my money. Take it. It's like, it's this great magic trick that these idiots have cottoned onto.
Can I ask you guys something that I was reading about from afar?
Yeah.
Which is my fancy way of saying I wasn't in Sydney.
I think you're saying you were reading it over someone's shoulder in the distance.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, can I? the thing about the government stepping in on the not well-cooked meat and that, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The bloody nanny state?
Yeah.
Well, has there been any update on that? Or?
I haven't been keeping up with what's happening in New South Wales.
That was a little bit of both are dumb, wasn't it? It's like nanny state, but also if you think it's cool to have like... Because I was reading the comments and people were like, well, it's not a good idea to have uncooked mince. Like maybe they're doing the
Yeah, right. Totally. I mean, look, I used to serve my burgers medium rare, so there was a bit of pink in them, and I do like a little bit of juice in them. But I think since then, I actually really appreciate a well-done burger.
Yeah, and I've definitely had some where they have tried to do the medium rare and just haven't nailed the landing, and it's fucking, you can't get through it. It's almost raw. So, was those guidelines, though, were they just guidelines? Like, this is how you should be doing it, or was it actually enforced? Were they coming around like some kind of burger police?
I think it was a scare story that never went anywhere.
That's what I think as well.
Everyone thought that they were going to get, like, burger police coming in and inspecting the middle of people's
burgers. That's a job I'd like to be, the burger police.
Now, because the Daily Telegraph are an incredible institution that maybe Callan should work at, if this strike thing doesn't work out, they've then linked all these other weird, freaky things. Basically, a bunch of rainbow foods in this article.
Yeah.
I'd never heard about this. There's a unicorn smoothie. It's like a...
Yeah.
Some ridiculous Starbucks thing that starts out purple and then you put your straw in it and it turns blue and it changes its taste too.
Diabetes in a cup. Unicorn Foods been around for a little while now, and you guys probably discussed it on this and had a
We haven't actually. I thought we could talk about it.
Well, okay, yeah. Well, it's just...
It's blue poo.
It's blue poo.
It's blue poo's first year of university.
It's just creating cakes or... fucking shakes or anything, really. If you can inject food dye into it, I bet you someone's turned into a unicorn food. And I don't know what adult babies are eating this shit. If you're anywhere above the age of 8, there's no reason to get excited about it, but people seem to like it. It's quite popular on Instagram.
Oh.
What's that one?
Andrew? I don't want to call
it. It's a unicorn cheese.
Someone's made a toasted cheese sandwich with food dye, so it's a rainbow of cheesy snot.
I cannot bring myself to buy a toastie just because I'm like, I can do that at home. Like, I'm not paying $10 for bread and cheese.
One of the most popular stands at the Royal Easter Show each year, it's just like, it's a massive thing, and they just do $2 cheese toasties.
Yeah, I don't even like saying the word toasty.
You're a Jaffle boy?
Toasted sandwich. Toasted Sanger. Fine. Jaffle and toasty aren't necessarily the same thing. But yeah, Jaffle's a good word. Toasty, I sound like a bit of a dickhead when I order it, I feel.
Yeah. So yeah, are we pro or against rainbow food?
Probably. It's a tough one.
Fairy bread is where
probably going to say
fairy bread's great. Against. I think if it's a cake, make that shit rainbow.
If it's a cake, it's a rainbow. It's a kid's party. Fucking do it. Like bubblegum ice cream growing up as a kid, like it was fucking awesome. Like,
yeah.
So if you're let them have it.
Rainbow paddle pop is still the best paddle pop.
But if you're above the age of 8 or 9, probably just eat some real food. Yeah. Rainbow paddle pop.
Rainbow paddle pop. That's my favorite paddle pop.
Or banana.
Yeah, but it's for weirdos. Anyway, next. McDonald's have a new edible fork, which is a joke thing that they've made. It's a plastic, like a fork with an empty receptacle at the top, where you, and you stuff three to four fries, McDonald's fries, into this thing, and then you eat it. You dip your whatever falls out of these new burgers they've gone.
I'm not comfortable with these chains making jokes. I'm the one that makes jokes about
they
you.
Become self-aware.
Yeah. I hate that when you're like, you can't. You know when it's like, oh, this gone viral, like Woolworths doing something about Eminem. You know, Woolworths' page or
Macca's did the whole Macca's hacks thing, like. You know, post your favorite Macca's hack, like, oh, let's get a cheeseburger with a fucking, you know, Big Mac sauce on it, like, whoa. And and people love that.
Well, like your thing about the pissing them off with the create your own.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. What did you do?
I used to always, like, when the create your own, which is like a thing where you order, you basically put together your own burger using a blank screen. It's like a big screen. All these different options come up, and I would just try and make the most stupid, fucked up burger.
Right. They don't have it anymore, do they?
Oh, they do.
No, they do. Yeah,
That's the big way to get rid of staff eventually. So everyone just comes in and you just fucking press the buttons on the screen,
chips
and you can save so much money in wages. That's the grand plan. They won't admit it, but I reckon that's what it is.
Yes, I do. Like, you know, like lettuce leaf bun with tortilla chips, beetroot, pineapple, like four patties, four different slices of cheese. And then just like ridiculous things, and then like they give it to you with like the most. They're just so upset at you for ordering.
Right. See, I had a similar but opposite experience when they first really took off in Sydney. This is about 2-3 years ago now. My editor's like, go down and see how many ingredients you can get onto the burger. So I just went down and just took everything to the maximum. And they've got it ingrained. So you can have like 10 bits of pineapple, 10 eggs, but like only 2 meat patties or only 2 servings of onion. It's very weird. I didn't think they actually thought it through that anyone would actually go in and try and take everything to the maximum level. But I did. And they said, are you sure? I was like, yeah. And it was like fucking $50 or something.
Yeah.
But like they made it, and all the kids out the back on Burger Juice was so fucking excited to make this burger.
Really?
They all like gathered around and like it's like, all right, I'll take a seat. They bought it out, like 3 or 4 like little Macca's employees like presented to me on the tray, like, here you go.
So it wasn't just one burger, or
no, it was just the one burger.
Oh, wow.
It was just one. Well, it also required like one person to hold the tray and the other person to have their finger on top of it.
Amazing.
So it didn't fall over. It looked like the May the 4th be with you day, the Empire like slugworm thing that comes out of the meteorite and attacks the Millennium Falcon. That's exactly, it's just like this towering inferno of gronky egg and fucking pineapple. I put that on Instagram, and a lot of people got quite upset about that.
Are they upset, really? Did you get caught a flog?
Fucking, what's his name? Jared Ingersoll, like, had a go with me. He's like, he retweeted on his, and he's like, or re-grammed it, and he's like, oh, I can't believe this is the state of food journalism today. He's like, I'm out of touch. It's like, oh, it's just a bit of fucking fun.
It is. That's why we're on strike.
You know, food's
you're the reason we're striking, girl. this frog thing, everyone is, it's like the classic case of like when a brand does something that everyone picks up on, because it's not the news story isn't this dumb thing, the fork that you eat with fries. It's to launch their 3 new gourmet choice burgers or whatever.
Yes.
And there's so much on these burgers that the toppings fall out onto your bag, and then you dip the fork chips into it to soak up the sauce.
Oh gosh, is this in Australia?
No, the States. But I mean, I'm sure it will come here.
They usually do. There's like every week there's a new stupid fast food Macca story from around the world. Because I think news organisations and I'm not saying good food isn't. You know, our hands are dirty of this too. You just need those cheap clicks that you'll go through and you'll find like, oh my god, there's like the Zinger hot dog in Korea that's launched this week, or McDonald's Bolivia is now doing a truffle fucking burger or whatever. It is, and that's like, yeah, bang, cheap and nasty clicks for the day.
Yeah, when I was running for 2000, I got told to stop reporting on all of the new stupid Domino's pizzas.
Yeah, it's so easy to do though. It's like
I actually really enjoyed reviewing them because they were so disgusting.
You did the meat pie one? Did you do that?
No, I did the Vegemite stuffed crust one.
Oh gosh,
it was foul.
Yeah. You did the meat pie, didn't you?
Vegemite. Did you do the meat pie pizza?
Yeah, it wasn't good. Again, it's like the other ones I said. My problem is I'm too trusting that it'll be great. Like, because I'm like, I thought it'd be like built into it, but it was just little pies sitting.
Right.
Just sitting in the... Yeah. There was like a little...
I feel like though everyone... I've never heard you be critical in any of your reviews. It's always like a 7-minute video and then you're like...
Yeah, I don't want any lawyers.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. No, I remember you. You weren't... You did. I could tell you didn't like it, but you were you kind of... You were holding back on it.
Yeah.
There was the other meat pie pizza as well, which actually had like the meat mince in the base, like just thin... spread thinly across.
Oh, yuck.
This is going back
and the hot dog
10 years
crust,
ago
did
now.
Anyone have that?
No, I didn't have... I fucking can't stand any of this shit, so I don't eat it. But, yeah. Did you have the hot dog crust?
No.
Yeah.
It's against everything I stand for.
I'm glad you stand for something. So this one I actually found independently of Daily Telegraph and then found out that just last week they reported on it. A listener from the UK, Rebecca, sent me a link to a new Soho restaurant.
Yes.
A newish, it opened at the end of last year, called Hip Chips. And this is a place that sells chips with dips. So crisps with dips.
Yes.
It's pretty fucking expensive. It's £4.50 for the smaller size. You can do £11.50 for 6 different dips, and then you have to also get your fries. Sorry, your crisps.
It's not cheap, is it?
So is it like Smith's crisps we're talking? Or?
Yeah, but they make them there with like different... They call them like pre-war potatoes, which are
gourmet chips and gourmet dips.
Potatoes haven't always been so dull or yellow. The humble spud was once a different, very different beast. Tastier, knobblier, more colourful. We've been digging around to find the best heritage varieties, serving them up delicately, fried alongside our mind-blowing dips.
The word knobblier doesn't get used enough, does it?
So the dips are...
No, these are the spuds, not dips.
Oh, Jesus, you're right. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, everybody.
Jeez.
Lucky... I don't even know what
the... I want to read the spuds. Go back to the spuds.
Okay, you can read. You do it. You can read out some spuds.
Highland Burgundy, 1936. I'm putting on a voice for this
Scotch.
This
is a great character.
This is my posh spud voice. Red Emily. Salad Blue, 1900. Violetta. Pink Fur Apple, 1850. Shetland Black, 1923. And finally, Red Duke of York, 1942. What are the years? It's like a vintage model.
That's how old the potatoes are.
I'd say that's when the variety first came into existence. What I will say is a couple of things. This is fucking dumb. But good on him for highlighting spuds and the different varieties. There is so many varieties of spuds, like thousands out there, and we only get a certain few in Australia, and the UK is the same. So, and there's different taste profiles to all of them and different textures. So I think that's... pretty cool thing. The idea of a chips and dip restaurant, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be around in a year's time somehow.
Well, this Soho has more than just one restaurant that only sells cereal.
Yeah, okay. It is the breakfast heartland cereal of that shit, isn't it? They sent me the link to this, actually, the PR, because this bloke's in Australia and they offered me interview opportunities with Chips and Dip Man. Apparently, you know, Michelin starred chef.
Yeah, yeah, he's working with Gordon Ramsay. He's working with that boy, Michael
PM,
right?
Yeah, he starred once.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You know, I don't know that. Maybe he was there as a sous chef for 3 years.
No, call him up. Come fight us.
I don't know. But I opened it because I'm working on a history of chips and dip in Australia story.
You're part of the problem.
So, no, but just kind of a fun look at it, you know. Just just doing a few chips and dip recipes, such as the one from Fleet, like the smoked, I think it's collard. Is it mullet or collard? I can't remember. But Josh's dip up there is amazing. And then you've got Mary's guys doing French onion and jazz. And that level. And yeah, it's just kind of fun, the history of chips.
Got to
and
do
dip.
Steak tartare over at Continental, which they serve with chips on the side, and you dip the chip in the raw beef. That's awesome.
That's not really a... It's not really a dip.
Okay. Agree to disagree. You don't know what some dips are, though. Chip and dip. There's no tartare on the menu at Chip and Dip, but you can get veggie ceviche, baba ganoush, Moroccan yogurt, beetroot and lemongrass marmalade, katsu curry, smoky cheese fondue, and then you can have sweet chips as well, which you have get them dusted in sugar and cinnamon.
Yeah.
And then you can get pudding dips, chocolate praline mousse, campfire s'mores, chocolate salted caramel, PB&J, lemon tart and raspberries, cheesecake, and creme brulee.
I do love a good
s'more
pudding dip.
Stands for some more.
Thank you so much.
Meaning, can I have some more?
I always wanted them as a kid because you watch Sandlot Kids and all the American films. It's like, we get some s'mores.
But... yeah.
And but they would straight up melt an entire block of chocolate. I don't know, never understood how, like, how that could possibly work.
No, and it was before the internet. So if you're a kid, if you're a 10-year-old kid watching Sandlot Kids and wants to make a s'more, you've really got to go out there and experiment yourself. And it takes a while to perfect the recipe. There's no YouTube clip to help you with this. And we couldn't get the right crackers anyway in Australia. I think that was half the problem.
I can't remember. I've either eaten it or I've seen it, and it made such an impression on me that I just think I've eaten it. It was someone did like a deconstructed s'mores, complete with a. I definitely saw it on television. That's right. It was like you know. So you had all the elements, and then you had in like a glass upside down, like a vial or whatever. You lift it up, and it's got campfire smoke. That
Zumbo MasterChef Round 3.
Oh, good tie-in, everybody.
Nation
Of all people, Goxie, funny man himself, actually brought to our attention a real news piece that ties into something we were talking about recently. So this is, I guess,
bringing
this
it back to politics.
Yeah, very serious. The company of dessert king Adriano Zumbo, has been accused of failing to pay his workers. This follows the footsteps of George Calabaris and other chefs, mostly from Melbourne. But this is a Sydney chef, obviously MasterChef alumni, and yeah, there's it's a very complicated article that I think they've taken it from A Current Affair. And they've interviewed staff, and the staff straight up look like I described it as like a "Where Are They Now?"
Yeah.
Hey Dad, original cast.
Yeah,
shot.
Yeah. I think I said they've got the set from the Paxton's interviews on A Current Affair from 20 years ago. They've dusted that off and put them out there in the same clothes. I think looking at those hoodies too. Anyway,
they look very sad. I know A Current Affair would be like, please look sadder, but they look too sad.
Zumbo looks happy though.
Zumbo's always happy.
Yeah.
So. Thank you for that hot take. I didn't actually read the entire story.
That's a great hot take. I haven't read this. I just found out about it. I don't want to comment on it without knowing anything about the issue at all.
I love that in the article, because news.com.au just gives you everything that you could possibly want. And there's a picture of Adriano Zumbo's Willy Wonka tattoo.
That's the ladies have got to love that, don't they?
That's what he spent all of his employees' money on.
Well, maybe he's just a big Gene Wilder fan.
On his ass cheek, he's like got a see no evil, hear no evil tat.
Like the lolly thing was just a coincidence, yeah.
What else was it? Was he in Where No Angels? Is that Jim Wilder?
I had to really stretch to get that hear no evil, see no evil one, so we'll just leave it.
Yeah.
Ask Zumbo. Finally... Oh no, we've talked about that. So we've only got one stupid news story left. There's new emojis coming.
Oh, good. I have to write this story every year usually, so I'm glad I missed out on this one this time.
A Chinese-Australian working in the tech industry in Silicon Valley has submitted 4 new emojis, which are going to be part of our emoji library later in this year. We get a dumpling, a fortune cookie, a American-Chinese takeout container, and chopsticks.
Fairly Asian weighted.
I like the takeout container.
Wait, that made me sound racist.
It did. I'm just going to leave it there.
I didn't mean that's a bad thing. I'm just like, well, if you introduce 4 new ones.
I'm pretty sure we've already got a fork. And like...
I think a lot of
nondescript white people food.
I think it kind of evens it up. I've always campaigned for more vegetable emojis because there is fuck all.
Well, we've got an avocado now.
There's a few more in the last...
You want all those potato varietals in emoji form?
Yeah, I want my Hasselbacks and my Highlander fucking Burgundies, motherfucker.
Well, maybe they're worried about them getting hijacked like the eggplant.
Sexy potato. I think that's fine. I just more veg, and there's no pie yet, which is a fucking I think it's all things.
Zinger pie, KFC, make it happen.
Yeah.
Zinger pie emoji.
They could sponsor that.
But normally that would have to be a big Australian push to get the pie. Or the British push.
I don't think the Unicode consortium who runs this kind of shit is probably going to listen to that push. But just a fucking pie, like an apple pie is a thing in America. Like pies are a thing in Europe. Just why is there no pie?
Is there a pie symbol?
Get my head around that.
I think there is.
And a pie emoji.
Like PI emoji.
I don't think there is. In the Uncharted green like symbol thing at the end, like all that error. I don't know.
Life of pie.
Finally, I want to shout out. I guess he's a friend of the show, Ben Shuri, from Attica in Melbourne, who was asked by New York Times today to recommend three of his favorite podcasts. And even though he did shout out a podcast that he's actually recommended me in the past about all about pinball machines.
Fuck off, really?
Yeah, yeah. He also recommended The Mitchin. So
good.
As of today, we got a nice big spike in our numbers because New York Times listeners are going to check in. And he actually said, I love the description of the...
That's awesome.
The description of his description of the podcast was extremely apt. He says, and I just love that this is like going out to an international audience too. He says, a food podcast out of Sydney, Shuri's take, they're really opinionated and they swear really often.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly what we do. It's a very apt description. I was like, he doesn't listen. And I'm like, oh, no, he definitely
listens. That cunt doesn't listen to these cunts. What a cunt.
Thank you for tripling.
That's awesome from Shuri. That's fucking great.
Yeah, yeah. Stoked. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it. First, you get me a gig DJing at Neil Perry's 60th birthday last month. And now this.
I heard about that.
He's my guardian angel.
Your days of blue-themed parties will be behind you. You should have just played Eiffel 65.
All night. No, they didn't get me to DJ, weirdly enough. They just wanted me to make the food. This is a previous me that you never met. Thanks so much for listening to The Mitchin. You can find us online, The Mitchin Podcast. Facebook.com/TheMitchin or email us, TheMitchinPodcast.
What happened to the Seinfeld logo?
I know they changed it. We started working with the projects and they got worried that we'd get sued by Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, awesome.
So now we have just a very nondescript black and white logo. They actually did make us a Cheers logo with The Mitchin instead.
Because Norm ain't suing anyone.
No way. George went. He's got better things to do. But yeah, you can send us an email, themitchinpodcast@gmail.com. Find me online at levdog, LEVDAWG. And of course, my other podcast, Hey Fam and Serious Issues. Should you be so kind as to check them out, go do that. We've got a lot of new listeners that have come on board the last few weeks. And it'd be really cool if you were listening right now to go over to iTunes and give us a nice review. I haven't asked in what feels like a year. But there's only like 30-ish reviews over there. And some of them are real nasty. Because we get a diverse crowd of listeners that maybe should not be listening in the first place. And that's all I'm going to say on that. But if you enjoy the show, do you reckon that the iTunes reviews that you should only be allowed to leave good ones? Because like, I don't think anyone gets anything out of reading a bad review of a podcast.
Starting to sound like a comedian, Liv.
I shouldn't have anyone commenting on my stories unless it's a positive one.
Oh, man. We didn't even get into that today.
I did that worst restaurant names on recently. The best comment I got, because I wrote a thing about, like, how is there a place called the Shingle Inn? I was like, I think you'll find that the Shingle Inn refers to the shingles that were on the original cafe's roof in 1934. It has nothing to do with the varicella virus, as you so... accuse it of. It's like, I fucking know that. God.
Times have changed, man.
Anyway, all right, I'm done.
Callan, where can we find you online?
At Callan Boys, CALLANBOYS. And at Instagram and Twitter.
Your Brisbane Good Food Guide comes out.
That'll be pushed. We still don't have a date for that yet, but it usually comes out in July.
Pushed back at least a week.
No, it usually comes out in July, but this year we'll be pushing it back to be closer to the Sydney and Melbourne releases, which are traditionally the first weeks of September. Awesome. So, yeah, look out for that.
And Goxie, of course, we can see you live the next four nights at the Enmore.
Yep. Going to be doing some stuff for Comedy Central soon, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, sick.
And yeah, just see me on the internet.
The American Rosso show.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's not. I don't know why you said that.
I was trying to think of one of their original programs, and that's all I could remember. The American Rosso show was on Comedy Central, like...
Yeah, are you thinking of Comedy Channel?
That was a cracker.
Oh, you mean like the American Comedy Central?
Well, no, the Australian one, but they're trying to get a foot in the door here, yeah.
Yeah, right.
So they've got like South Park and me and...
South Park and Goxie.
All the greats.
You're on Facebook, Aaron Gox.
Yep.
And what's your Instagram?
Twitter, Instagram, MySpace. No. Actually, I am. You can find that. It's pretty funny.
There's a mutual friend of ours, Tommy Dassler, who has like a whole bunch of like... 12-year-old comedy bits that he did still up on his MySpace page if you go looking.
Yeah,
awesome. Have you got the same? You still got old videos up there?
Not of comedy, just of songs that I liked.
Oh, and that's how we're going to end, actually. We ask our guests to pick a song.
Does it have to be about
food? You don't get to pick one. No, just a song that you want us to end the episode on. So have you got anything you want to end it on?
You can if you want.
No, mate. No, I trust your music tastes more than mine.
Well, this has put me on the spot. What is it? Like my favorite band?
Just put whatever. Just the song that you want us to end the episode on.
I don't know.
Callan, you want to pretend to be Goxie and choose a song?
Is the Queen dead yet? Have we got any intel on this?
Oh, you want to put God Save the Queen on?
Well, no. Like, there's, you know, everyone's going to be playing the fuck. If she has died while we're doing this podcast, then everyone's playing the Smiths.
Sure.
For the next couple of days. And I wouldn't want to subject anyone to fucking Morrissey on this podcast anyway. No, come on, mate. This is your time to shine. What music?
I'll do something on bad. On fucking
yeah, it's, yeah, I've heard the shit they play on this.
It gets pretty dire.
Well, can I play one of my friends' bands or something?
Yeah, do it. It's great.
All right. They're called Fear Like Us. They're good.
Fear Like Us. What song are we putting on?
Mustn't
be good friends if you don't know their songs.
Yeah, because I just played the CD. I don't know the titles.
And I'll look them up. This is a great way to end the podcast.
Yeah.
Fear Like Us. Scars are tattoos with better stories.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, cool. All right. It's Fear Like Us, everybody. Thanks so much to our guests, Goxie and Callan. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks,
with Mitch
mate.
Back talking to us about what he's got up to in Adelaide. See you next time.
Thanks for having me.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.